Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish. Listen live at 4 p.m. Central and 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays. Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish. In September of 2022, we have analysis and discussion of the 666 Antichrist prophecy. With me, your Book of Revelation research scientist, Dr. Nicole. That's happening every Tuesday and every Sunday in the month of September 2022. On Sundays, we are live at 12 p.m. Central Time and 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And again, on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Central Time, that's 5 p.m. Eastern Time. We welcome your perspective and your questions about the Book of Revelation during the live broadcast. You can reach us during the live broadcast at the PGN phone number, which is 1-319-527-6027. That's 1-319-527-6027. When you call, press 1 to raise your hand in the virtual queue. That will let me know that you have a question or comment or prayer request. And if you are calling in but you don't press 1, if your hand is not raised, I will not call on you. I'll know that you are participating by listening and that you aren't ready to talk today. Also, you can communicate with us via text. Our PGN text phone number is 1-214-505-8719. I love to say when I am giving a talk, no question is a bad question. We are all learning. Sometimes people feel uncomfortable sharing a question orally, but feel more comfortable posing it via text. And so if that's you, if you say, well, I think that this is not a great question. I think I should already know this, but I'm not sure. If you have any hesitation, but you have a question that you want an answer to about the Book of Revelation, I want to receive it. I want to answer your question. So please feel free to text us at PGN 24/7. You can text in your question about the Book of Revelation to 1-214-505-8719. Say that you are texting a question for Dr. Nicole or the Book of Revelation research scientist, and Randy will forward that to me so that I can respond on a future program. So let's get into it. We're talking about the 666 Antichrist prophecy. By the way, the basic study notes are available for you 24/7 at blogtalkradio.com/liveprophetic. So you can get the basic study notes. There's 7 pieces of information listed there to facilitate your ability to study what we are talking about today. Let me go there now so I can share with you what appears. So on the basic study notes, there are 2 slides there at Blog Talk. There's the cover slide with the PGM text and phone number, the name of the prophecy we're discussing in the month of September. And if you right-click, there's a second slide. It says basic study notes for the 666 Antichrist prophecy. And there I have the name of the statement of prophecy, the location in the Book of Revelation with the specific scriptures, the movie trailer in words, the abstract, the scripture for that, the full discussion. Those I identified those scriptures there. Also, a non-exhaustive list of key topics, which include the Antichrist, the false prophet, the Great Tribulation, and other things. I also list there for you in the basic study notes keywords, phrases, and numbers. And finally, the prophecy in the group of prophecies context. So thank you for your patience as I share information that may be helpful to you and others. And now I want to go right to the 666 Antichrist prophecy. It appears in chapter 13 of the book of Revelation. It is the fourth statement of prophecy that appears in the book of Revelation. It focuses on two beasts. The first beast is the Ten Nation Alliance, with the mouthpiece of the Ten Nation Alliance being the Antichrist. And it identifies a second beast who is the false prophet. And so today we will hear about specific actions that the Antichrist will engage in during the Great Tribulation, as well as six actions of the other beast, the false prophet. These things are explained in the 666 Antichrist prophecy, and I want to go right to the culminating verse where we get this 666 from. So the last verse in chapter 13 is this, reading from the Amplified Classic Translation. Here is room for discernment, a call for the wisdom of interpretation. Let anyone who has intelligence, penetration, and insight enough calculate the number of the beast, for it is a human number, the number of a certain man. His number is 666. And so we are talking about today the Great Tribulation, a period of crisis that is in our future, a crisis like we have never had on this earth, and one that we will never have again once it has ended. Let me share with you some of the key words and phrases that appear in this 666 Antichrist prophecy. They include mark of the beast, statue, forehead, 42 months, leopard, bear, lion, 10 horns, dragon, and book of life. Okay, so let's begin with the movie trailer in words and then move to the movie in its entirety. If you've been listening, you've heard me say this before, but for first-time listeners, and in case it's helpful to hear again, I want to share a secret that will help you to successfully navigate the geography of the book of Revelation. It is an extremely compelling, well-written series of nonfiction reports. Statements of prophecy, which include predictions, admonitions, and consolations. So here's the secret. There are 12 statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation, and each statement of prophecy begins with an abstract, followed by continued discussion. We could also refer to that as a full report. So what is an abstract? It's a movie trailer in words. It is used in professional writing for highly complex nonfiction reports. We call those scientific peer-reviewed journal articles. What's the take-home point for us? The book of Revelation is highly complex. It has a lot of information. 12 specific reports, 7 of the reports focus either exclusively or primarily on the Great Tribulation. So today we're going to analyze and hear the 666 Antichrist prophecy, which focuses exclusively on the Great Tribulation. verses 1 to 5 of chapter 13 are the movie trailer in words, the abstract for the 666 Antichrist prophecy. So what does that mean? When you go to see a movie and you see scenes that you've already seen before, it's your first time seeing a movie, but there's some scenes you've seen before, and the reason you've seen them before is because you saw the movie trailer before seeing the movie. And so in the same way, in the book of Revelation, it can appear confusing if you have not unlocked this secret. And so when you know whether you're looking at the abstract or the full report, that allows you to be clear on where you are in the book of Revelation. So we get that short summary, key information about the key players, the key conflicts from the perspective of the writer. So God has communicated this information, God the Father to Jesus Christ, we're told in Revelation 1, chapter 1, who then communicated it through his angel messenger to his bondservant John, who was given visions. And so this movie trailer in words, the abstract is important because it tells us from the perspective of God, what is most important to know in the 666 Antichrist prophecy. And then following that, we get more details that are filled in. Okay, let's hear it. Verses 1 to 5 of chapter 13. This is the movie trailer in words for the 666 Antichrist prophecy, known as an abstract. Reading from the Amplified Classic Translation, it says, "As I stood on the sandy beach, I saw a beast coming up out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads. On his horns, he had 10 royal crowns, diadems, and blasphemous titles, names, on his heads." So here we learn in verse 1 that there are 10 nations, and those nations are led by 10 leaders. And we know that because he saw 10 horns with 7 heads and then 10 royal crowns. But these leaders are problematic. Why? Because they have blasphemous titles and names on their heads. Let's go to verse 2. "And the beast that I saw resembled a leopard, but his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth was like that of a lion." So we're given 3 clues about the 10-nation alliance, the leopard, the bear, and the lion. So how do we interpret this information? When Daniel wrote about the same beast, that was hundreds of years before John penned the book of Revelation. Yet, the same beast is described, but without the eagle's wings. When this was written, it was written for the end of this age. And Daniel was instructed that he would not be able to know what it all means because the words were shut up and sealed till the end, this time period, the end of this age. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 5, it says, let me read verses 8 and 9. Daniel said, "And I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, oh, my Lord, what shall be the issue and final end of these things? And he, the angel, said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed till the time of the end." And so in 2022, we're in the time of the end of this age, not the end of the world, but the end of this age, because when the great tribulation has ended, the wrath of God will come upon this earth, and Jesus Christ will come, and with his second coming, he will fight and win the Battle of Armageddon, the war to end all wars. At the conclusion of the Battle of Armageddon, he will establish his government, a government without end. In Isaiah chapter 9, it says, "For unto us a child was born, for unto us a son was given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end." And so that's what we are looking forward to. But in this great tribulation, there will be 10 nations. And we're given clues about the 10-nation alliance. And there exist nations for whom these animals represent globally. These animals identify that nation. They represent that nation everywhere on the earth. For example, when I say the bear, what nation comes to mind? Russia. The lion, similarly, that's the symbol for Great Britain. And finally, the leopard. My perception is that the leopard corresponds to Germany. There are different reasons that could be offered, but from my perspective, the most compelling reason is this. The number one tank used in First World nations is a tank called the Leopard. It has been used for decades, and it continues to be highly prized and sought after. Multiple iterations of it have been produced, and as we move forward in time, that sixth trumpet war is on the horizon. There's no doubt in my mind. Now, this isn't in the Bible. We can't say, I can't tell you this for sure, but in World War III, which is described in the sixth trumpet prophecy, a description is given of what will happen with that war. And it makes sense that the leopard will be used in that war. Take home point. The leopard in military circles, in the intelligence community, is associated with Germany because that is the nation that produces that number one tank used worldwide by First World nations. Let us continue. And in verse 2 it says, "And to him the dragon gave his own might and power and his own throne and great dominion." Let's pause there. Who is the dragon? Now, you might think, well, if the bear is Russia, the dragon must be China. Except that the book of Revelation tells us specifically who the dragon is in the millennial reign prophecy. In verse 2 of chapter 20, it says, in part, "The dragon, that old serpent of primeval times, who is the devil and Satan." And so we know for sure that the dragon is Satan. And we see, as we look at other places in the book of Revelation, that the dragon is Satan. And so we've learned here in the movie trailer that the dragon is going to give his might and power and his dominion to this 10-nation alliance, these 10 nations with 10 leaders. So let's continue with verse 3. We're in the movie trailer for the 666 Antichrist prophecy. It says, "And one of his heads seemed to have a deadly wound, but his death stroke was healed. And the whole earth went after the beast in amazement and admiration." So one of these nations will have some kind of wound that makes it seem as if the nation is down for the count. It's over. It's done with. It can't make a comeback, but it absolutely will. And when that happens, the earth will be amazed and will admire this particular nation. In verse 4, it says, they fell down and paid homage to the dragon because he had bestowed on the beast all his dominion and authority. So that is telling us that people are going to worship. They're going to worship Satan. Remember, Satan is the dragon. And why? Because he has given this 10-nation alliance incredible power and authority and dominion on this earth. And then it says, at the end of verse 4 of chapter 13, they also praised and worshiped the beast. So talking about the 10-nation alliance, exclaiming, who is a match for the beast? And who can make war against him? So today we can conceive of making war in theory against any nation. But during this time, the time of the Great Tribulation, this 10-nation alliance will be so powerful, will be so dominant in political and economic affairs worldwide, that the common sentiment will be this 10-nation alliance, this conglomerate of nations is so powerful that no country can take it down. No country can take it down. And finally, what is the culminating verse of the movie trailer? It is verse 5 of chapter 13. And the beast was given the power of speech. This is important. Let's pause here. So the beast described in the movie trailer, in words, the abstract for the 666 Antichrist prophecy is the 10-nation alliance. Now we're told that the 10-nation alliance was given the power of speech. So we are advised that there will be a person who will speak on behalf of the 10-nation alliance, who will wield its power. That person is the Antichrist. Let's read on and hear what the Antichrist will do. And the beast was given the power of speech, uttering boastful and blasphemous words. And he was given freedom to exert his authority and to exercise his will during 42 months, 3.5 years. That is a cliffhanger. So for sure, I want to hear the rest. I want to see the full report. We have this abstract. I need all the details. We're going to them today, talking about the 666 Antichrist prophecy right here on PGN, Prophetic Grace Network. We're talking about the 666 Antichrist prophecy, and we just heard that the Antichrist will have the freedom to do as he wills, to exercise his will. But it's for a finite period of time, and that period of time is known, and it is exactly 42 months. 42 months. And so let us now go to the full report. Verses 6 to 18 include the continued discussion, the full report of the 666 Antichrist prophecy. Now, we are going to hear some repetition when we go to the full report, the movie in its entirety, if you will, because we've heard the movie trailer. So there will be some repetition, but largely new information. Let's start. Let me back up for a second. I want to give some context for what we're about to hear. So the full report begins with talking about the Antichrist. We're told about the actions and activities of the Antichrist, then words of consolation. These are words designed to give hope in the face of distressing events are shared. A warning is shared for the saints, God's people. So we have two things so far. There are four things that happen. The actions of the Antichrist are described in the full report for the 666 Antichrist prophecy. Words of admonition, warning, and words of consolation are provided for the saints. Number three, six key activities of the false prophet during the Great Tribulation are reported. And finally, the 666 Antichrist prophecy culminates with a verse communicating that the number of the beast is a human number, and it's 666. So let's go to the full report now. Let's hear verses 6 to 8 of chapter 13. These are the verses in the 666 Antichrist prophecy that tell us about the activities of the Antichrist during the 42 months, the 3.5 years, the 1,260 days of the Great Tribulation. Beginning with verse 6, reading from the Amplified Classic Translation, it says, "And he," talking about the Antichrist, "opened his mouth to speak slanders against God, blaspheming his name and his abode, even vilifying those who live in heaven." Let's pause there. So the Antichrist is going to speak out against God, blaspheme the name of the Lord, and even blaspheme those who live in heaven. In verse 7, we learn more about the activities of the Antichrist during the Great Tribulation. It says, "He was further permitted to wage war on God's holy people, the saints, and to overcome them." Let's pause there. So here we learn that during the Great Tribulation, the leader, the mouthpiece of the 10-nation alliance that will dominate the economic and political affairs of the world, will wage a war against Christians. And he will overcome them. That means that this is not something that can be prayed away. This is a report of the future from the perspective of God, and all time exists within God. And so we don't move forward in fear, but in faith, confidence in God, knowing the outcome. We have the end of the book. The saints win. God wins. We win as people who have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's continue. The end of verse 7, it says, "And power was given him to extend his authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation." Not every nation will be under the leadership of the Antichrist. There will be nations, and we know this from other books in the Bible, which the Antichrist and the 10-nation alliance have not been able to subdue. For example, he never takes Jerusalem. That's his frustration. However, the 10-nation alliance grows in power and authority across the 3.5-year Great Tribulation period. We know that from verse 7 because it says, "And power was given him to extend his authority." This is important to know because when the Antichrist assumes power and the Great Tribulation begins, it's going to be awful. It's going to be a crisis like we've never seen, but it is a purposeful crisis with a known end. Nonetheless, we will not be surprised when we see his power and the power of the 10-Nation Alliance grow. We won't be able to pray that away, but we can pray in confidence according to the will of God. Let's continue with verse 8, hearing more about the activities of the Antichrist during the Great Tribulation. And all the inhabitants of the earth will fall down in adoration and pay him homage. Everyone whose name has not been recorded in the book of life of the Lamb that was slain and sacrificed from the foundation of the world. Let's pause there for a second. In the 666 Antichrist prophecy, peoples of the earth are divided into two groups: those whose name are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and those whose name are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, that's very interesting. We tend to group peoples of the earth along different lines. But from God's perspective, he's saying either you are Team Jesus, having accepted God's plan for salvation, or you are Team Satan. So either a person has a known trajectory of life, which includes living on the present earth, participating in the first resurrection, ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ during the millennial reign, and continuing to live eternal life in a glorified body during the millennial reign and on the new earth. That's for every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But then the others who are on the earth, if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life and you take the mark of the beast, if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that means that you have not yet followed God's plan for salvation outlined in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38. It's important to get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the number one responsibility that you have, because it is the only compelling evidence that can be used to ensure that you get your glorified body, that you transition to eternal life. And so, going back to this activity described in verse 8, it says, all the inhabitants of the earth will fall down in adoration and pay him homage. But then there's this caveat: who's all? Everyone whose name has not been recorded in the book of life of the Lamb. And so everybody who has been deceived will actually fall down in adoration and pay homage to the Antichrist. He will be worshipped by the peoples of the earth. Now, the activities of the Antichrist have been described in verses 6 to 8. Then the full report goes to something new, which is an instruction, words of warning, and words of consolation for Christians who are alive during the Great Tribulation. If you are hearing my voice, I believe that that may be you. I believe that that will be me. We are approaching that period. Let's hear what God's instruction is for Christians who live during the Great Tribulation. It says in verses 9 and 10, if anyone is able to hear, let him listen. Whoever leads into captivity will himself go into captivity. If anyone slays with the sword must he be slain. Herein is the call for the patience and the faith and fidelity of the saints, God's people. So what does that all mean? What is God telling us? Recall when Jesus was on his way to being crucified, and they came to take him away, and one of the people with Jesus, he cut off the ear of one of the soldiers that was there to take him away. And Jesus put the ear back on, healed the man, and he continued because he was in the will of God. He did not wish to thwart the will of God. He knew that it was his time to die on the cross for you and for me. And so God is advising us here, if anyone slays with the sword must he be slain. Whoever leads into captivity will himself go into captivity. The Great Tribulation is a time for testifying, preaching the word of God, sharing the truth about the gospel, witnessing to and for Jesus, refusing to pay homage to the beast, refusing to take the mark of the beast. It's not a time to wage war against the 10-nation alliance. That's important to know. That's important to know. So what are we called to do if we're not going to fight the 10-nation alliance? And you say, well, don't you think we should? If the Antichrist has waged war against Christians, we ought to wage war against him. God is with us. I don't think so. And the reason why is because here in verse 10, it says, herein is the call for the patience and the faith and fidelity of the saints, God's people. Jesus Christ will fight the battle of Armageddon, the war to end all wars. The Great Tribulation is the wrath of Satan, but it's followed by the seven plagues, which are the wrath of God. Culminating with the return of Jesus Christ, the first resurrection, the marriage of the Lamb, and then the marriage supper. What's that? That's the battle of Armageddon. So a war will be waged against the Antichrist, but we are not called to wage war until the battle of Armageddon. So Jesus Christ will lead the war against the Antichrist and the 10-nation alliance and their armies that come to take down Jerusalem, as described in Revelation chapter 19, the marriage supper prophecy. Hear me with that, friend. Hear me with that. So our instructions for what we are to do as God's people during the Great Tribulation are provided in verse 10 of chapter 13. Now, let's go to the third of four things that appear in the full report for the 666 Antichrist prophecy. What about the false prophet? And I shared last night, if you were listening to Prophet Randy's show last night, we talked extensively about this. The Lord gave him so much revelation, and Tanisha was on, and Nikki was on. It was just awesome. If you weren't listening live, I encourage you to go to the archive and listen to that September 19th Monday night show. And so I mentioned at the beginning of our time today that in the 666 Antichrist prophecy, two beasts are identified. The first one is the 10-nation alliance, and by extension, its mouthpiece, the Antichrist. And now we're going to hear about the second beast, verses 11 to 17 of chapter 13, identify the false prophet as another beast, and then tell us six specific actions of the false prophet during the Great Tribulation. Let's hear it beginning with verse 11 of chapter 13. It says, then I saw another beast rising up out of the land itself. He had two horns like a lamb, And he spoke, roared like a dragon. Let's pause there. So this is telling us that this other beast will speak like a dragon. Who's the dragon? Satan. That primeval serpent, the devil himself. So he will speak words inspired by Satan. He will speak the mind of Satan, the will of Satan. Yet, he will look like a lamb. So this guy is going to be super Christian. He's going to appear meek. People will say, oh, this is the most devout man on the planet. This is a man of God. But he won't be a man of God. He is identified as a beast, and he is the false prophet. Let's continue. The false prophet is identified in verse 11 of chapter 13. Now let's hear, what are his actions? What specifically will the other beast do during the Great Tribulation? We're told here in the book of Revelation in verses 12 to 17. Number one, reading from verse 12, he exerts all the power and right of control of the former beast in his presence. Let's pause there. So in the presence of the former beast, the Antichrist, he exerts all the power and right of control. So they will work in tandem, both wielding and exerting power during the Great Tribulation. Now, why are they working in tandem? Because they both have the same team lead the dragon. Let's hear the second thing. So we heard that he will exert power and the right of control right alongside the Antichrist. And continuing at verse 12, here's what else he does. Causes the earth and those who dwell upon it to exalt and deify the first beast whose deadly wound was healed and to worship him. This is just horrible. The false prophet will lead the peoples of the earth to bestow upon something that is not God the identity of God, to deify, to make it a God, the first beast. So the 10-Nation Alliance and or by extension the Antichrist himself. So people will worship the first beast. And what else does he do? In verse 13 it says, he performs great signs, startling miracles, even making fire fall from the sky to the earth in men's sight. So that's the third action. He's going to perform startling miracles, and then we're told about a specific one. Let us consider this. Supernatural power can be the result of God or the result of Satan. Some Christians believe, and falsely, that miracles aren't for today. And the reason that that is especially problematic is because if you believe that miracles are not for today and you see the false prophet with your own eyes actually performing startling miracles, so it doesn't say a miracle, just the fire falling from the sky, but miracles, we're given an example of one. So if you see this, but you don't believe that miracles are for today, then maybe you'll be deceived. Maybe you'll believe that this has to be a man of God, because how else could this be performed? So we have to understand that miracles are happening on this earth today, and they're going to happen during the Great Tribulation. Miracles inspired by the power of God and miracles inspired by the power of Satan. So the false prophet is going to perform amazing miracles, exciting miracles, but they're counterfeit. They're counterfeit. They're designed to deceive. They're from an inferior source. That's the dragon, Satan himself. Now, we know that Satan is a deceiver and a liar and a thief. And so God, one of God's miracles is to have fire fall from the sky. Recall when Elijah called down fire from the sky. And in the future, in a millennial reign prophecy, we're told in verse 9 of chapter 20 in the millennial reign prophecy, fire descended from heaven and consumed them. So at the end of the millennial reign, Satan's trying to wage war yet again against Jerusalem and the people of God, but there's no war. The power of God causes fire to fall from the sky, to descend from heaven, and they are instantly consumed. And so we see here that the false prophet is doing a counterfeit miracle, copying God. He's a plagiarizer, a thief, and a liar. We know that the false prophet will perform through supernatural power miracles, and they will be startling, and they will be amazing and wondrous, and we must know in advance so that we're not deceived that just because a person actually performs a startling miracle doesn't mean that the person is of God, because startling miracles can be performed as a result of the power of Satan. Let us continue with verse 14. Here is the fourth action described in the book of Revelations, 666 Antichrist prophecy of the false prophet. And because of the signs, miracles, which he is allowed to perform in the presence of the first beast, he deceives those who inhabit the earth, commanding them to erect a statue, an image, in the likeness of the beast, who was wounded by the small sword and still lived. Let's pause there. So the fourth action of the false prophet, the other beast described in the 666 Antichrist prophecy, is that he's going to commission a statue to be built. It will be built and erected. And on this statue will be the image of the first beast . And let's see what else happens after the statue is erected. In verse 15, talking about the false prophet, and he is permitted also to impart the breath of life into the beast's image so that the statue of the beast actually talk and cause to be put to death those who would not bow down and worship the image of the beast. And so the false prophet is going to put the breath of life into this statue. So whether that's through technology or the supernatural power of Satan or some combination of both, we're not told, but through some mechanism, the statue will actually talk. And the response that the peoples of the earth are supposed to give when hearing talk from the beast is to bow down and worship the image of the beast, which is on this statue. And this is hard to imagine. This is hard to imagine. And, you know, I live here in the United States of America. The idea that I would bow down, or that you would bow down to Joe Biden, is just ridiculous. It's hard to imagine that someone would even want that. But think of a nation like North Korea or other places that have dictators. They seek to be worshipped this way. And this is what it will be during the Great Tribulation period. Now, let's go to the sixth and final action reported in the 666 Antichrist prophecy of the false prophet. Now we're getting to the mark of the beast. Verses 16 and 17, this is key. Also, he compels all alike, both small and great, both the rich and the poor, both free and slave, to be marked with an inscription stamped on their right hands or on their foreheads, so that no one will have power to buy or sell unless he bears the stamp, mark, inscription, that is the name of the beast or the number of his name. So the false prophet is the person who will compel people to take the name which is essentially pledging one's allegiance to Satan, identifying oneself as a son or daughter of Satan on the forehead of oneself. Whatever you do, friend, don't take the mark of the beast. That is a counterfeit mark. The true mark of the beast is a mark on the forehead. And what will be on your forehead when you are at the end of this age, when you have overcome, when you are victorious and the evidence of your victory is here because you're in your glorified body and you are ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus tells us. Jesus tells us in Revelation verse 3, chapter 12, I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which descends from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. Jesus promises to put his own new name on your body. That's the true mark. That's the true mark. The mark of the beast is a counterfeit. Now, let's talk about this forehead part. Well, you say, well, research scientists, where is the mark going to be? In the book of Revelation, we're told more about it in the New Earth prophecy. In verse 4 of chapter 22, it says, his name shall be on their foreheads. So the name, the new name of Jesus Christ, God's will, God's plan is to put that mark, his name, on your forehead. It's not God's will to put the name of the beast on your forehead. The name of the beast on my forehead. Now, what does it mean if you take the mark of the beast? It means you can buy and sell, but at what cost? Well, let's talk about one of the early costs. So before the return of Jesus Christ, after the great tribulation ends, the wrath of God begins. And what happens to those who have taken the mark of the beast? In the seven plagues prophecy, we see one of the consequences, one of the early consequences of taking the mark of the beast. It says in verse 2 of chapter 16, so the first angel went and emptied his bowl on the earth, and foul and painful ulcers, sores, came on the people who were marked with the stamp of the beast and who did homage to his image. So it doesn't come on the people who did not take the mark of the beast. Painful ulcers, and this is the will of God. This is the will of God. So if a person chooses to reject God and to say, you know what, I'm going team Satan, let me spend eternity in the lake of fire. That's the second death. So every person who has ever lived, with the exception of the Antichrist and false prophet, will have this trajectory. Resurrection at either the first resurrection, so that's a resurrection to eternal life on the current earth and the new earth to come, or resurrection at the great white throne judgment described in the dead judged prophecy at the end of chapter 20. And if a person is resurrected at the time of the great white throne judgment, that means that the person's name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's go there for a second. It says, in verse 15 of chapter 20, and if anyone's name was not found recorded in the book of life, he was hurled into the lake of fire. Now we understand why God puts people into two groups in this 666 Antichrist prophecy, because either you're in group one or group two. Either you're participating in resurrection to life at the time of the marriage of the Lamb, that's the rapture, that's the first resurrection, or you're participating in resurrection for eternal damnation at the great white throne judgment. So you might say, well, I don't believe all that. Well, I could say, I don't believe the sky is blue. I don't believe the earth is round. That doesn't mean that the sky isn't blue or that the earth isn't round. We must make an informed decision about where we will spend eternity. There's no third option. You, neither myself nor you, has the power to destroy ourselves in the sense that we can't say, well, I wish I never existed, or when I die, I want to just float around the Milky Way. Sometimes I hear people making statements like that, or they say, well, I'm going to turn into an angel. Friend, no, you're not, and I'm not going to do that either. It's not within the scope of our authority to decide that. We are the creation, and God is the creator. Now, what has he empowered me and you to decide? We get to decide, do we want to spend life on this earth forever and ever for the eternities of eternities in a perfected, glorified, immortal body? That's his promise to us. Or do we want to spend life forever and ever for the eternities of eternities in the lake of fire with the false prophet, the Antichrist, and Satan, who will be there? And so, the mark of the beast, let's go back to it. It will be compelling. But you know, it's possible to dwell in a place, in an economy, that's not the dominant economy. But what if you couldn't buy or sell? And what if you lost your life because you were testifying about Jesus Christ? You were preaching the word of God. Well, what does it say is going to happen? It says in verse 4 of chapter 20, John says, I saw the souls of those who had been slain with axes beheaded for their witnessing to Jesus and for preaching and testifying for the word of God, and who had refused to pay homage to the beast or his statue and had not accepted his mark or permitted it to be stamped on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived again and ruled with Christ the Messiah 1,000 years. If you didn't see any other scripture, right here is the proof that the pre-tribulation notion is false. The pre-tribulation resurrection is what I meant to say. The pre-tribulation resurrection, because why would God say to us that they lived again, those who had been slain with axes for their witnessing to Jesus? And you might say, well, that happened to John the Baptist. He's talking about what happened in prior times. No, because right here it says who had refused to pay homage to the beast or his statue and had not accepted his mark or permitted it to be stamped on their foreheads or on their hands. So that's proof that Christians will be here on the earth during the time of the great tribulation. But we are not to fear, because it says right here, and they lived again and ruled with Christ the Messiah 1,000 years. Jesus Christ was the firstborn of the dead, the first to be resurrected, and those of us who are in Christ, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we will follow him. We will follow him. In verse 5 of chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, it says, in part, Jesus Christ, the faithful and trustworthy witness, the firstborn of the dead, first to be brought back to life, and the prince ruler of the kings of the earth. And so, there are Christians who will live through the entire great tribulation, and with the second coming of Jesus Christ, our bodies will be changed in the twinkling of an eye from corruptible to incorruptible if we are here at the time of the second coming. But I lose my life. If you lose your life during the great tribulation, it is nothing to fear, because you will be resurrected very shortly thereafter at the marriage of the Lamb, which happens before the marriage supper. And the great tribulation is only 3.5 years. And then in Daniel, we're told that if you go to 1,335 days, that's in verse 12 of chapter 12, then you are blessed, happy, fortunate, spiritually prosperous, and to be envied is he who waits expectantly and earnestly, who endures without wavering beyond the period of the tribulation. So if you can get to 1,335 days, I believe that God is saying you'll be in that group. I'll be in that group that never experiences the first death. We will actually transition from corruptible to incorruptible. But nonetheless, those who have perfect continuity of life as disembodied spirits in heaven, they will be embodied at the time of the first resurrection. Same as those who are on the earth will be embodied. We will both groups go to, we will put on our glorified, immortal, incorruptible bodies, a body that's at its peak performance, a body that will never have mental illness, a body that will never have a disease that ravages it, a body that will allow you to run, to walk, to swim, to engage in whatever activities you want to engage in, and you will have that body if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life forever and ever for the eternities of eternities. And so today, I implore you to make sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I want to share with you all the things that Jesus promises for those who are victorious. So I'm going to read to you his words. How do we know that these are his words? Because in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, it says, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars, which are the messengers of the seven churches, in his right hand, who goes about among the seven golden lampstands, which are the seven churches. These are the words of the first and the last, who died and came to life again. These are the words of him who has and wields the sharp two-edged sword. These are the words of the Son of God, who has eyes that flash like a flame of fire, and whose feet glow like bright and burnished and white hot bronze. These are the words of him who has the seven spirits of God, the sevenfold Holy Spirit, and the seven stars. These are the words of the Holy One, the true One, he who has the key of David, who opens and no one shall shut, who shuts and no one shall open. These are the words of the Amen, the trusty and faithful and true witness, the origin and beginning and author of God's creation. So what are his words? What do you get when you are Team Jesus, when you have followed God's plan for salvation, when you have repented of your sins and you are your sins have been paid for? They are remitted because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You are victorious. So what do you get in the words of Jesus Christ, reading from chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation? Here's what you get. Jesus says in his own words. So these are the words of Jesus Christ about what it means to be victorious. He shared this as seven words to seven churches that existed at that time. So Jesus Christ was the same, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so these words are true today. This is what you get when you are victorious. Jesus says, to him who overcomes is victorious, I will grant to eat of the fruit of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. He who overcomes is victorious, shall in no way be injured by the second death. That's the lake of fire. So you will not participate in the great white throne judgment. Only those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And every person who participates in the great white throne judgment as a litigant is thrown into the lake of fire. That's the second death. So what else do you get as a result of being victorious? Jesus says in verse 17 of chapter 2, to him who overcomes, conquers, I will give to eat of the manna that is hidden, and I will give him a white stone with a new name engraved on the stone, which no one knows or understands except he who receives it. And he also says in verse 26 of chapter 2, and he who overcomes is victorious, and who obeys my commands to the very end, doing the works that please me, I will give him authority and power over the nations. Now, how is he going to give you authority and power over the nations? Because he's going to fight and win the Battle of Armageddon, and he's going to put down the governments of men and establish the government of God on this present earth. And he further says in verse 27, talking about those who overcome, and he shall rule them with a scepter rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, and his power over them shall be like that which I myself have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. Jesus further says, talking about things that you will receive as a result of being a member of the royal race. He says in chapter 3, thus shall he who conquers, is victorious, be clad in white garments, and I will not erase or blot out his name from the book of life. I will acknowledge him as mine, and I will confess his name openly before my Father and before his angels. Now, this is so important. We're back to the book of life. So remember, the book of life is the compelling evidence used for purposes of judgment. And those whose sins have not been paid for, those who have a debt, they say, Jesus, I reject your offer to pay for all my sin debt. I'll pay for it myself. So what does that mean? That means you're going to pay for it and you're going into the lake of fire. The second death, that's a permanent death. However, you can make the decision to say, you know what? I learned from the word of God that there's no number of good deeds that I can do. There's no price tag that I can pay for that will pay for my sin debt. So, Jesus, I'm going to repent. I'll make you Lord of my life, and I accept your offer. You died on the cross for me so that I could be in right standing with God, and I accept that. I make you Lord of my life, and then you get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So every person who has followed God's plan for salvation, Jesus says, I will not erase or blot out his name from the book of life. So remember, for the resurrection to eternal damnation, the book of life is pulled out. And then Jesus looks to see if a person's name has been recorded in the book of life. And when it's not there, then that is the evidence that the person has rejected God's plan for salvation and is therefore sentenced to eternal damnation. So again, make sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, what else do you get? Because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In verse 10, Jesus says, I also will keep you safe from the hour of trial testing, which is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell upon the earth. We are not to fear the great tribulation or the wrath of God, because he says right here, I also will keep you safe from the hour of trial testing, which is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell upon the earth. So there's going to be an hour of trial and testing on this earth, but those who are in Christ will be safe. What else does he promise? He says, he who overcomes is victorious. I will make him a pillar in the sanctuary of my God. He shall never be put out of it or go out of it. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which descends from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. And so, friend, I hope that these promises are exciting to you. Finally, in verse 21 of verse 3, Jesus declares that this is what you will get because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life as a member of the royal race, as the bride of Christ. He who overcomes is victorious. I will grant him to sit beside me on my throne, as I myself overcame, was victorious, and sat down beside my Father on his throne. And so, friend, I share those promises from Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, to encourage you and to elicit, if it hasn't happened already, to elicit those decisions that will result in you having your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me, except through me. Friend, there's no other way to eternal life. What's eternal life? It's living in a perfected body, not this imperfect body that I have right now, not the imperfect body that you have right now. It's, you say, well, I think my body's pretty great. I'm fit. I work out. I eat healthy foods. But are you going to live forever? If your doctor can't tell you how to live forever, you need a new doctor. You need Dr. Jesus. Jesus is saying, I have a perfect body for you, an immortal body, an incorruptible body. And that's what he wants to give you, but he's not going to make you take it. When you are going to get in a relationship with a person, you want the person to want you, to decide for himself or herself to be with you. You don't want to force somebody to be with you. God isn't going to force you to love him, to be with him. You get to decide whether you want to accept or reject God. But I tell you what, I think that living in a perfect body on this present earth and then in the perfected new earth that's coming after the millennial reign, that is a lot better than living in the lake of fire forever and ever. Eternity is a long time. And you don't get to tap out. You don't get to tap out. If you take that mark of the beast, you can't tap out and say, oh, you know, Satan, you made it seem like this was great, but it's horrible. I'm going over to the other team. I quit the Commanders, and now I'm going to work for the Cowboys. No, there's no draft like that. You can't switch teams midway. And so make a decision before the time of the first resurrection. And never, ever take the mark of the beast. What does it matter if you can buy and sell for 3.5 years, if you will spend 3.5 million years in the lake of fire? Now, I'm just using that number arbitrarily. Eternity is certainly longer than 3.5 million years. It's forever. And so God's best is for you to be with people who love you, people who you love, in a perfect body that allows you to have clear thoughts, that allows you to function normally, full range of movement, that allows you to be in the will of God using the gifts and the talents that God has put in you. You have gifts and talents that haven't been realized, but in the millennial reign, Jesus Christ will be appointing people to specific positions. The first thing he does, we're told in the millennial reign prophecy, is that he appoints judges. God knows every talent and gift that a person has. Maybe you're in your right job, maybe you're not, but if you are here during the millennial reign because you're in Christ, God will put you where you're supposed to be. You haven't lived your best life yet. You haven't been in a body that never aches. You haven't been in a body that is operating at peak performance with respect to your brain power and what's going on with you physically. It hasn't happened yet. And it won't happen unless your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So I pray that you will seriously consider what the book of Revelation communicates to us about the importance of salvation in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm excited for us to go from start to finish with these statements of prophecy. Please put on your calendar for 2023, spending time listening to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network. We'll be talking about these important things. There are lots of wonderful shows. Terrence and Tanisha have a show. Deborah has a show. Jeannie has a show. Felicia, Carmen, of course, Prophet Randy Chandler, Monday through Thursday from 9 p.m. Central Time. That's 10 p.m. Eastern Time until about 1 or 2 a.m. And if you want to know about the book of Revelation, if you have a heart to know the truth, what is God communicating about the end times, then you want to be with us here. And in January of 2023, we're going from start to finish with the whole 12 statements of prophecy. In January, we'll talk about the seven seals prophecy. And when you listen on Tuesday and you listen again on Sunday and you listen again on Tuesday, or maybe you play from the archives back to back, when you hear these scriptures and the explanations over and over again with different insights, different examples, it begins to stick. You not only understand it, but you begin to have the ability to recall that information on demand. And so that's the purpose of spending an entire month focused on one statement of prophecy, going from start to finish with that same prophecy over and over again to make sure that we really have it, that we have a good understanding of what God is communicating. In February, we'll be talking about the seven trumpets prophecy. In March of 2023, the 1,260 days prophecy. Next April, we'll revisit the 666 Antichrist prophecy. In May, we'll talk about the 144,000 first fruits prophecy. Do you wonder who were the 144,000? who's in that group and who's not in that group, and why are they in that group and why are others not in that group? We'll talk about that. And in June, the Earth Reaped Prophecy, the first resurrection. In July, the Seven Plagues Prophecy, the wrath of God following the Great Tribulation. We'll talk about that in July of 2023. Do you wonder about the last pope? Are you curious about the role of the Catholic Church? What about the false prophet? Is the false prophet the final pope? What's going to happen to the Catholic Church at the time of the wrath of God? We're going to talk about that. The Purple and Scarlet Prophecy next August. We'll spend every program on this show, Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish, talking about the Purple and Scarlet Prophecy. Next September, we'll focus on the Marriage Supper Prophecy. That's the Battle of Armageddon. In October, the Millennial Reign Prophecy. That's the first 1,000 years of the Kingdom of God on this present earth. Then we'll talk about the Dead Judged Prophecy. What's going to happen for all those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And when is it going to happen? That's explained in the Dead Judged Prophecy. We'll be talking about that in November of 2023. And next December, in the Christmas season, we'll be talking about the New Earth Prophecy, what it will be like, what we will see when this earth goes from corruptible to perfected, a perfected earth, no death, no evil thing, no evil person, no evil spirits. Where is God going to be when the new earth arrives? That we're told in the New Earth Prophecy. So that is our plan, to go from start to finish with the Book of Revelation. I want to thank you for being here with me and with us today. As always, if you have a prayer request or you have a comment or a question about the Book of Revelation, I urge you to share that with us. You can text us at 1-215-505-8719. The PGN text phone number is 1-215-505-8719. And you can join live via phone at 1-319-527-6027. I'm looking again in the queue. I don't see any hands raised, but I see that you guys are here. I want to thank you for being with me and with us. I value your presence. I never take for granted your time. I appreciate that you have a heart to hear from God, to know the truth, to understand the Book of Revelation. And I want to end with a prayer for you and over you from the Book of Revelation. Blessed, happy to be envied are you. You have heard it read, the words of the prophecy of the Book of Revelation, and I pray that you keep yourself true to the things which are written in it, heeding them and laying them to your heart, for the time for them to be fulfilled is near. So the Book of Revelation is unique for many reasons, but one reason is that in verse 3 of chapter 1, it says, blessed, happy to be envied is the man who reads aloud in the assemblies the word of this prophecy, and blessed, happy to be envied are those who hear it read and who keep themselves true to the things which are written in it, heeding them and laying them to heart, for the time for them to be fulfilled is near. Friend, that is you. You have heard the words of the statements of prophecy in the Book of Revelation read, and I believe that you will keep them close to your heart. So God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Until next time, friend, take care.